This is Audible.
Flame, Men of Inked Heat Wave Book 1, written by Chell Bliss, narrated by Jason Clark and Samantha Brentmore at Brickshop Audio Inc.
Prologue. Gigi. Mistake. An error in action, calculation, opinion, or judgment caused by poor reasoning, carelessness, or insufficient knowledge. Life is a series of mistakes. I've made my fair share of them in the last 20 years. Some were grander than others, but each time I tried to learn a new lesson, driven not to make the same one more than once. Falling for the wrong man has been my problem. Sure, I'd done some stupid things like every young person, things that could have changed the way the rest of my life had played out. I didn't fear much. I also didn't think too far into the future, wondering how my newest mistake would alter the rest of my life. That's the thing about youth. We spend so much time in the now, we rarely think about the future, because time seems infinite, while we feel so indestructible. Mistakes are how we learn and evolve. At least that's what my father told me, trying to get me not to make the same mistake twice. But I didn't listen. I'd made the same mistake twice. I'd loved two boys in my life, Eric and Keith. Both said they loved me. Both cheated. Both broke my heart. The only thing I got right with Keith, my high school sweetheart, was that I didn't sleep with him. Just before graduation, I caught him cheating and later found out it wasn't the first time he'd done me wrong. C'est la vie. I thought Eric, mistake number two, was the real deal. I thought we'd go the distance. But again, I was wrong. Although I gave him my virginity, trusting him more than anyone in the world, he couldn't keep his dick in his pants either. I seemed doomed, weaving a web of ex-boyfriends and cheaters to carry with me, altering the way I'd feel about men for the rest of my life. I didn't want to be that girl. I didn't want to be bitter and untrusting of every man for the rest of my days. I knew there was goodness in the world. My parents had been married for over 20 years, happily married at that. My mother was everything to my father. She could do no wrong in his eyes. He worshipped her, treated her like a goddess. I grew up watching that goodness, seeing how a man should love a woman. But no matter where I looked, all I seemed to attract were cheaters. After cheater number two broke my heart, I vowed to myself never to let it happen again. I'd either have to learn to keep things casual with the men in my future, or hone my man picker and try to weed out the slime balls from the good guys. How totally laughable is that? But then I met the man. The one I thought was number three. The one I couldn't imagine getting it right with because everything about him screamed error in judgment. He was different from any man I'd ever opened my heart to before. He was different from the boy I'd first given my body to. But that didn't mean he wouldn't become mistake number three. Chapter 1. Gigi. He wants you. Tamara, my cousin, elbows me in the ribs while she gawks at a guy across the bar. And he's hot, bitch. I glance in his direction and look away quickly when our eyes meet. Holy shit. The guy isn't just hot. He's freaking fine with capital Fs. But the last thing I need is more complication in my life, especially after what happened with Eric. I tear my gaze away from him and roll my eyes at my cousin. I'm not here for a hookup, Tam. I'm here to be with my girls, not some hot piece of ass. She finishes my statement and shoots me a smug grin. He's not that hot. I throw the thin red straw from my drink in her direction, hoping she'll change the subject. I'm completely lying, of course. This guy is hot as fuck. He's not a pretty boy, although he is handsome. He's a little rough around the edges, and probably couldn't pull off the corporate look to save his life, but that doesn't make him any less hot. There's no way a guy like him rides his bike on the weekends and sits in a cubicle all day to pay the bills. He lives the life. He's all in. Balls deep in the biker world by the looks of him. This isn't a getaway weekend to let his shit hang out and cut loose for a few days. Nope. This life, the drinking and riding, is part of his core. On a hotness scale of 1 to 10, he's totally a 20. But Jesus, he's a little scary too. I've known plenty of bikers in my short 20 years walking this earth. Growing up with a biker dad who had biker friends, I've been around guys like the hottie my entire life. Since I worked at Inked during my summers, my circle of bikers grew, but they were all good guys, at least in their own fucked up ways. Mallory lifts the shot glass in front of her lips and stares over the rim at me. "You know how to get over a douche like Eric?" I shake my head. "Don't say it," I warn her. She slams back the shot and winces before the liquid has even slid down her throat. "Fuck, tequila is no joke," she grits out and coughs into her hand until tears are in her eyes. "I told you." Mary, her identical twin sister, says and shakes her head in judgment. "You never listen." "I'm fine. Anyway, what was I saying?" Mallory pauses as she slides the empty glass across the table. "Ah, I was telling you how to get over Eric." Her lips tip up. "Get under someone else." Ugh. That's totally Mallory, but not Mary. They are like night and day, yin and yang. I'm not sure the world could take two Mallorys anyway, so it is a good thing they're so opposite. One's a wild child, and the other is a bookworm. Tamara nudges another shot of tequila in my direction. "Have a drink. Maybe you just need a little liquid courage to go talk to Flame." I raise an eyebrow, glaring at my not-so-innocent cousin. "Flame?" "Well," she glances in his direction again and shrugs. "He's hot as fuck, so Flame works. Like he's so hot, you'll get burned." She laughs, finding herself funny, even if no one else at the table does. I tap my finger against the table, staring at her in disbelief. "You know what happens when I drink tequila, Tamara?" Her smug smirk grows bigger. "I do, and I'm counting on it." She waggles her eyebrows. "Oh, boy. Tamara is supposed to be my voice of reason on this trip. We lied our asses off to our parents about spring break. We told them we were staying on campus to catch up on homework and to study for final exams. They would literally shit a brick if they knew we were here, especially during bike week." "Was Eric even a good lay?" Mallory asks out of the clear blue, because her mind always seems to be thinking about sex, even if it isn't her own. "He was good." I grab the tequila because if my mouth is full or I'm coughing from the burn, I can't talk about having sex with Eric. I don't know if he was good or not. He was good for me, but he was also the only person I'd ever gone all the way with. Sure, I fooled around with other guys, but my experience wasn't as impressive as some people's. My answer to Mallory's question isn't a complete lie, but hell if I know if anyone else would say he was good or not. I wince before the tequila even touches my tongue. "Good or great?" Mallory asks. I tip my head back, letting the liquid slide to the back of my mouth before it makes its way down my throat. My eyes tear up immediately, and I almost regret choosing the liquor over talking about my lack of sexual experience with my best friends. "Does Eric look like he'd be great?" Tamara asks Mallory, saving me from answering. Tamara knows all about my sex life and everything that happened with my exes. We've always been open and honest with each other. I know she's been with a few more guys than me, but she doesn't judge me. But Mallory doesn't have a clue because she'd totally judge me. She judges everyone. He looks like he'd be a lame lay, Mallory says, totally judging Eric. Oh, stop, Mal. He does not, Mary replies and pushes a chunk of her long red hair behind her shoulder. I've been with enough guys to be able to spot a bad, good, and great fuck a mile away. Mallory turns her attention toward the hot guy who was staring at me. And he? She tips her head in his direction. Would be a great fucking lay. Mallory has no problem putting herself out there with men. She's unapologetic about her sexuality and goes after what she wants. I envy her, but only a little bit. Not the part where she sleeps with any guy who is even mildly good-looking and wants to get in her pants. But the part where she's so self-assured and gives no fucks what anyone thinks about her or her activities. Mary purses her lips and looks at her sister in disgust. You can't tell by looking at someone. Stop with your bullshit, Mallory. Just because you're easy doesn't mean you're better than the rest of us. Mallory sits up straighter and tilts her head, turning her attention toward her sister. Sweetie, I'm not easy. Trust me, I make men work for this. She waves her hand in front of her chest. I don't give it away to just anyone. Mary, Tamara, and I laugh, but Mallory is shooting daggers at us, looking like she's ready to lunge across the table and wrap her skinny fingers around our necks. You guys can kiss my ass, Mallory snaps. We're talking about Gigi, and the sexy beast over there making goo-goo eyes at her. Is Miss Pris too good for a biker guy like that? Or maybe you're too much of a prude to even talk to a hot-ass guy like him. I grind my teeth and glare at Mallory. Sometimes I hate her. She can be such a bitch. If it weren't for the fact that she is Mary's sister, she wouldn't hang around us. But wherever Mary goes, Mallory's right there with her. They're a package deal. I am not a prude, I hiss and return her glare. Mal, by your standards, everyone around this table is a prude, Tamara says, coming to my defense. Mallory tips her head back and cackles. Damn, I know you're not a prude. My sister might as well be a nun, and sweet little Gigi over here. She waves her hand in my direction, and I do my best not to slap it away. Is well on her way to sexual boredom. The two shots of tequila I've already downed, along with the beer I've been nursing, are starting to work their magic. Between Mallory's annoying words, the hot guy across the bar, and the alcohol running through my veins, I'm ready to blow. I curl my fingers around another shot glass, and I know I'm going to regret everything about tonight when I open my eyes tomorrow. But right now, I don't give a shit. I'm over the conversation, and I'm so totally over Mallory, I'll do anything to shut her up. Fuck you, Mal. I've been around men like him my entire life. I didn't grow up like you, in a mansion surrounded by overprivileged assholes. A badass biker guy like that doesn't scare me. Put up or shut up, sweetie. Mallory grins, thinking she's proved her point because she's always the unpredictable one in the group, while Mallory and I play shit safe. The chair scrapes against the floor, and my knees wobble as I stand, but I can't stop now. If I falter in any way, I'll never hear the end of it from Mallory. The last thing I want to give her is more ammunition. I lift the tequila to my lips, pouring it down my throat and barely wincing this time, because it's already working its magic. Don't wait up for me tonight. Tamara's hand is on my wrist before I have a chance to storm away in dramatic fashion. Do you think this is smart? She stares up at me with wide eyes. Don't listen to her. You know she's a bitch, Gigi, and she's just trying to piss you off. I pull my arm away, feeling surer than ever that this is, in fact, the right thing to do. I'm going to prove them all wrong. I can be wild. I can be reckless. I know how to have fun, and I can most certainly talk to a hot, badass biker guy without turning into a mumbling idiot. I'll be fine, Tam. I won't be back at the hotel room before the sun rises. Gigi, don't do this. Tamara begs, reaching for my hand again and missing. 1 second. I take another step backward. Mallory's face is covered in a shit-eating grin, and Tamara and Mary both look horrified before I turn my back to them and make my way through the crowded bar. Goddamn Mallory and her self-righteous bitchiness making me do crazy shit. Well, it's not entirely her fault. A man named Patron is just as much to blame as the bitchy redhead sitting at my table. My eyes lock with the handsome strangers, and all rational thought and any reason to stop what's about to happen go right out the window. God, he's beautiful. He has the sexy bedhead thing nailed, with his light brown locks going all different directions, begging to be touched and smoothed. The way his lips curve at the side, exposing just a hint of white teeth, renders me a little stupid, and I almost trip over my own 2 feet. But I somehow stay upright. Reaching into my back pocket, I grab my phone and unlock the screen as I take the final steps to the guy who's freaking hot. This man isn't a college boy looking to guzzle beer and make out at a frat party. Nope, not this guy. He looks like the type who would have a different chick on the back of his bike every night of the week and make zero fucking apologies for it, offering nothing but a good time. Hey, I try to sound upbeat and excited instead of terrified and pissed off. What's your number, handsome? I lift my phone, moving my gaze from his face to the phone and back to him. The corner of his mouth ticks, and I ready myself for a barrage of questions. But they don't come.
Hey, darling, he says smoothly.
Oh my God. His voice is like velvet sliding over my skin, deep and gravelly. I stand there unable to move, staring at his mouth, surrounded by that killer beard. I have never kissed a guy with facial hair. I wonder what it would be like to press my lips to his. Would the beard tickle? Get a hold of yourself, girl.
Name's Pike.
He tips his head back, tilting it a little to the side as his gaze sweeps over me. I open my mouth and close it because for a moment, I can't think of a damn thing to say. I can't stop staring at him, and all thoughts, rational or not, just seem to vanish. I don't know how many seconds I stand like this, staring at him while he stares at me. But it's more than a few and entirely too long. Gigi, I finally mutter, like I'm a complete and total imbecile, unable to say more than a few syllables. I can't seem to stop staring in his eyes. They're beautiful, but I can't tell if they're blue or green in the shitty lighting of the bar.
Still want my number?
He asks, moving his hand across his face and partially covering his mouth to hide the smile he's sporting. I nod because somehow I'm still mute. Way to go, Gigi. In this moment, standing in front of this hot biker, who I now know is named Pike, I am indeed everything Mallory said I am. Pike gives me a chin lift, and I raise my phone before he rattles off a set of numbers. Be right back, I smile, or at least I think I do. With the tequila, it could very well be a grimace. Thankfully, Pike doesn't ask me anything else. He just dips his head, those beautiful lips still quirked before I turn my back to him and hustle away as quickly as possible. My eyes are wide as I stalk back toward the table where Tamara, Mary, and Mallory are all sitting, staring at me in complete disbelief. Tam, take down his number. If I die, you know where to start. Don't do this, she pleads and covers her face with her hands. Just take down his number. Don't listen to Mallory, Gigi, Mary tells me, but I shake my head. You want his number or not? I stare at my cousin, ignoring the other two. This is happening, so you can either have my back or not, Tam. If you fucking die, Tamara says as she fishes her phone out of her purse. I might as well die too, because my daddy and your daddy will kill me. They'll find out about our fake IDs, underage drinking, and me letting you walk out of here with a scary as fuck biker. I tap my foot. Just open your contacts and type, Tam. I don't need a lecture. She snaps her mouth shut and nods. Her fingers move fast as I read his number off the screen. His name is Pike.
Of course it is,
she mutters into her phone screen. I still think... Don't. I snap as I jam my phone into my jeans pocket while she stares at me with her mouth hanging open. I'll be fine. You have his name and number. He's not going to murder me. I mean, look at him. I look over my shoulder, catching those beautiful eyes again. I'm looking, and he's fine, Mallory adds, like any of us give two shits about her commentary or opinion. I swallow hard, suddenly feeling like I haven't had a drop of liquid in my mouth for days. Don't wait up for me. I'll see you when I see you. I turn on my heel and head toward Pike. Gigi, Tamara yells out, barely audible above the music and chatter of the people around me. I don't stop, though. I walk straight up to Pike, taking in his vintage t-shirt, torn jeans, road-worn black biker boots, sexy bedhead, and just fucking spectacular beard and eyes, and say, "Wanna get out of here?" He pulls the beer bottle back from his lips, eyes sweeping up my body before his lips curve again.
Thought you'd never ask.
Chapter 2. Pike.
Fancy place, the girl says as she walks into my hotel room, glancing around like she's waiting for something to jump out and bite her because it's a shithole. I can take you back to your friends if you want. I can see she's not comfortable. The chick, Gigi, I think she said her name was, drops her purse on the green carpet and turns to face me straight on.
I don't want to go. I'm right where I want to be.
She sways as she speaks, clearly on the verge of drunk. Why in the hell she asked me to take her to my hotel is beyond me. I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth, though. When a hot chick asks me to get out of somewhere with her, I'm no fool. I take her wherever the hell she wants to go. Drunk sex can be fun, but drunk sex with such a young chick may not be all it's cracked up to be. Besides being plain fucking stupid, I'm not an idiot. I've been with enough women, drunk and sober, to know when they want it and when they aren't quite sure. Right now, the way she's looking at me, I'm not sure she wants what she's asked for. I grab the bottle of Jack Daniels and pour two glasses, one for her and one for me, as she walks toward me. I push one in her direction, lifting the other one to my lips. She takes the glass, staring at me as she moves slowly, lifting the rim to her mouth.
Pike, right?
She asks. Yeah, darling. I mumble into the amber liquid, gazing at her as she tips the glass back and takes a mouthful.
I don't usually do this,
she says, wincing as the burn slides down her throat and mine. Those words, I believe. There's nothing in her body language that screams one-night stand. She didn't leap into my arms, attaching her lips to mine as soon as we walked through the door. I almost feel guilty having her here, even if she asked me to bring her exactly where she's standing. Figured as much. I move to the bed, sitting on the edge, resting the glass of Jack on my knee as I look at this mint-ass chick with the wild brown hair, big blue eyes, and killer rack. But the thing that gets me most is those long-ass legs, smooth and shiny, dark from the sunshine kissing her skin.
But I want to be here,
she says quickly, moving to stand in front of me, but not close enough to where I could reach out and touch her. How old are you? I ask, noticing the flawlessness of her skin as she stands near the bedside light.
22,
she says, not meeting my eyes. She's right at the edge of my limit. At 26, anyone younger feels just plain wrong. I don't care how much they push their pussy in my face. I ain't looking for jailbait. I take another sip, eyes locked on hers as she stares at me, shifting from foot to foot, just a few feet away. We can watch TV or just talk, I offer, trying to be a gentleman. This wasn't exactly how I imagined the night going. When a chick like Gigi leaves a bar with me, I always assume there's pussy coming my way. And before tonight, I've never been wrong.
You want to watch TV?
She asks softly, finally stilling and staring at me with her head cocked and one eyebrow higher than the other, I shrug, staring at the beautiful creature before me. She's like a Greek goddess, wild yet subdued, with hair rolling down her shoulders, covering her breasts in long waves. Wasn't how I planned the night to go, but I'm down with whatever. This doesn't seem like your thing. Her foot starts tapping, fast and loud.
What's that mean?
Just what I said. We don't have to have sex, we can just hang out. Why is this girl busting my balls so damn hard? Usually a girl's already in my lap, lips on mine, riding my cock through my jeans and begging to be filled. But not this one. She's staring at me, putting more than a few feet between us, not moving a muscle or throwing herself into my arms. I'm trying to be a gentleman, but she's making it damn hard to keep my shit together. She slams back the jack, slides the glass onto the nightstand, and moves in front of me with her legs touching my knees. I glance up, and it's my turn not to move.
I want you,
she says softly, placing her hands on my shoulders. Her eyes warm as her fingers touch the tender skin on my neck near my collar, stroking slowly back and forth.
I want you to fuck me, Pike.
I don't know what I said that made her flip a switch. 30 seconds ago, I could have sworn we were going to watch a movie, or at the very least, we'd be heading back to the bar. But now she's staring at me with hungry eyes and nothing but determination. She moves forward, lifting her legs one by one, planting her knees near my thighs as she climbs onto the bed. I slide my hands to her waist, steadying her as she settles onto my lap, pressing her sweet pussy against my dick. The kiss is sloppy, her lips tasting like jack, but her breath laced with tequila. Her movements aren't smooth, sending up red flags all over the place. I glide my hands up her sides to her arms before hauling her backward. Are you drunk?
No,
she says quickly, gasping when I tighten my hands around her upper arms as she tries to get to my mouth again.
Are you?
She's a sassy thing, ready to throw words back in my face without hesitation. Darling, it doesn't matter if I am, I'm a sure thing. But it matters if you are. She tries to wriggle free of my hold, but I keep her pinned, my hands on her arms with her body moving in my lap, making my heart on worse.
It doesn't matter for me either. I just want to have sex.
The last thing I want is to be someone's regret. Tomorrow when she wakes up, I don't want to be the biggest mistake of her life or even this week. I want to fuck a woman because she wants me, not because liquor gave her the courage to step outside her comfort zone for a walk on the wild side. In one swift move, I have her in the air and then flat on her back in the bed. But I don't dare join her. I stand quickly, moving away from her as she blinks up at me in shock.
What the fuck?
She hisses, trying to sit up but falling backward.
What's wrong with you?
I don't do drunk chicks. I run my fingers through my hair, pacing a path in front of the bed. She grunts.
I'm not drunk.
By her behavior, I can tell this isn't her typical scene. Throw in alcohol, and this shit could blow up in my face big time. Fuck.
Well,
she says, waving her hands over her body.
Hell yeah, baby, I'm waiting for that.
I grab the bottle of Jack, walking toward the table and two chairs near the window. I need a minute to think. I'm trying to buy some time and a way out without pissing off this chick completely. She's not timid or meek. She's quick with her words, and I know if I say the wrong thing, she's liable to go off half-cocked, completely losing her shit.
Pour me one,
she says, trying to sit up again, but she falls back down, letting out a loud sigh. I fill my glass, collapsing into the chair after I set the bottle back on the table. No, I think you had enough for one night.
You're not my father,
she snaps, fisting the comforter in her thin fingers and squeezing her eyes shut. It's a good thing I'm not. I'd tan your hide for doing what you're doing. She throws up an arm.
Now he has a conscience.
I always have a conscience. I bring the glass to my lips and look toward the doorway, wondering if I should just leave her here or take her back to the bar. I'm leaning toward leaving her, letting her sleep off the liquor. The last thing I want is for her drunk ass to be on the back of my bike, sliding onto the pavement because she's too fucked up to stay on.
Mr. Badass Biker Dude has a conscience,
she says before she starts to laugh.
Mr. McHotterson doesn't want to fuck me because I had a few drinks.
She pauses, and her laughter turns into loud giggles.
Maybe more like 5 or 7 drinks.
I slide my gaze to her, but her eyes are still closed as she lies flat, unmoving except for her laughter inflating her chest. However many you had, it was too many. Her eyes open for a moment, still unfocused as she looks to her side, watching me.
That's priceless coming from you.
I down half the glass of Jack, trying to get my shit under control because this girl is seriously getting on my nerves. Coming from me? What the hell is wrong with me? An hour ago, I didn't give a shit if she was annoying or not. I wanted to fuck her until I passed out, but now she's lying in my bed, hurling insults and compliments in my direction because I'm trying to do the right thing.
Well, yeah. You're a badass biker dude.
What the fuck with that badass biker dude shit? I'm just a man looking to fuck.
See?
She waves a hand in my direction before dropping it to the bed like a ton of bricks.
Totally a badass biker dude thing to say.
She closes her eyes again, and I stay silent, knowing the argument is useless.
I just want to get laid and get Eric off my mind. Is that so much to ask?
She wanted to have breakup sex. She wanted to forget. I can understand that, even if I've only had a handful of women who ever came close to breaking my heart. I don't bother asking about Eric. I don't give 2 fucks about the guy, and at the moment, I don't give a fuck about the mouthy chick in my bed, either. I sit here in complete silence, pouring myself another drink as she keeps on talking.
There must be something wrong with me. Eric was awful in bed, or was I the one who sucked so bad I couldn't even get off?
She's clearly way beyond tipsy based on the way she's spilling her guts. I'm not engaging in this conversation, but she has no problem continuing.
If the badass biker dude won't even fuck me when I'm throwing myself at him, maybe I'm the problem. 2 guys, 2 cheaters, what else can it be but me?
I'd love to tell her it's in no way her fault. She's beautiful, even if she is a pain in the ass. I don't know a guy in his right mind who wouldn't explore her body for hours on end until he gave her a damn orgasm, or so many orgasms she passes out from lack of oxygen. I lift the glass to my lips again, mumbling into the liquid as quietly as possible, because I don't want to engage in her ramblings. I'm thankful when she doesn't say anything else, and nothing but her soft snores fill the room. Thank fuck, I whisper, glancing toward the ceiling and wondering what I did to deserve this shit tonight. Dodged that fucking bullet. All I wanted was a good time. And instead, I'm saddled with a girl I don't even know, passed out in my bed, snoring away like she's got no cares in the world. I'm tempted to leave, go back to the bar, and finish the night the way I'd planned, but I can't bring myself to do it. We may not know each other, but I can't leave her in this room alone. When she wakes up, the last thing I want her to think is something happened when it didn't. I'm not a gentleman, but I'm also not a complete asshole. I don't need any more trouble in my life. I had enough of that growing up and trying to break free of my parents. I tip my head back, downing the rest of my drink before climbing to my feet and making my way toward the closet. Way to go, Pike. I pull out the spare blanket, ready to bed down on the shitty couch near the door. This may be one of the longest nights of my life, and I have a feeling tomorrow morning isn't going to be any better.
Chapter 3. Gigi. Oh, shit, I whisper, turning my head to the side, seeing the hottie from last night passed out on the couch. Did we do it? That's a big nope, since I still have on my clothes from last night and they reek of tobacco and the day after drunk stench. My head throbs as I start to sit up, and I instantly collapse backward, wishing I hadn't had the tequila. The bad news is I have a headache. The good news is I'm still alive, I whisper again, staring up at the ceiling. Maybe I can slink out of bed and make it across the room without waking up the badass biker. I place my foot on the floor, my body still flat against the mattress and comforter, that probably hasn't been washed since before I was born. I push that thought right out of my mind as my toes dig into the dirty shag carpet, and I slide out of the bed like I'm doing a fire drill. It reminds me of the old stop, drop, and roll they used to teach us during fire safety week in elementary school. I keep my head up, trying not to focus on the damn stickiness of the carpet on my palms as I inch closer to the door while crawling on my knees. I hold my breath, trying not to wake the guy and wincing the entire time because it feels like there's a little garden gnome playing the drums inside my skull. I glance at the guy as I reach for the door, still on my hands and knees, holding my breath. My fingers are an inch from the metal knob when I lift up into a crouching position, feeling my escape almost at hand. I don't want to be here when the guy wakes up. He's probably pissed because we didn't do it last night. I came back here fully expecting to bump uglies because Mallory had pissed me off so much, and I figured it was spring break and the perfect time to do something reckless.
"Where are you going, darling?"
asks the voice from last night, still sounding like sin, but deeper from sleep. I freeze. "I thought I'd let you sleep." He reaches behind his head, arm thrown over the back of the couch, and grabs my wrist before I can turn the handle.
"You in a rush?"
His touch is light.
"I figured we could get some breakfast."
My eyes widen and my mouth falls open. "You want to have breakfast?" His fingers tighten around my wrist, but not painfully. He's holding me with such a light touch, it catches me completely off guard, and I do nothing to pull away.
"That's what people usually do in the morning."
"But," I swallow, hating to bring up last night, but thinking it needs to be out in the open. "But we didn't do it."
"Do it?"
He repeats my words, rolling his body without letting go of my wrist until we're eye to eye.
"Seriously?"
I nod and shrug, feeling like a bigger moron than I probably look. And that shit is pretty hard considering I'm on my hands and knees trying to sneak out of his room without even brushing my hair. The guy laughs.
"No, darling, we didn't do it. But I'm hungry, and I'm sure the hangover you're nursing needs some hair of the dog, along with something greasy."
I blink a few times, wondering if I'm hearing him right or if I'm still drunk and not quite understanding what he's saying. "You want to take me to breakfast?" He lets go of my wrist and rubs his forehead, leaning over the couch with his elbows resting on his knees.
"Clearly, she isn't as smart as she seemed last night,"
he mutters to himself.
"This is what I get for wanting to bang the hot girl."
I rise up higher on my knees, my back straight, still blinking at him with my mouth hanging open. "I'm the hot girl?" I ask. He lifts his head enough to see my eyes.
"Are you shitting me with this?"
"Pike, right?" I ask because last night is a little fuzzy, which is odd because I didn't have that much to drink, but it had been a while since I'd drunk something stronger than beer. He nods and I continue as I finally climb to my feet. "I am not shitting you. Are you shitting me?" He throws his body back into the couch and runs his hand through his still hot-as-fuck bedhead.
"About breakfast?"
he asks. "About everything." His gaze intensifies as he stares up at me with those dreamy green eyes.
"I'm hungry. Are you?"
"Yes."
"Then let's eat."
"Okay," I whisper as my stomach growls. It won't be so bad sitting across from Pike and sharing a meal. We don't have Jack to talk about, but at least I'll be full and can buy a little time before I go back to my room and have to face Mallory.
"And babe,"
he says and pauses, sitting motionless. "Yeah?" He's on his feet, hand on my jaw, eyes locked on mine.
"You're one of the hottest chicks there. You're a little fucking loony. You can't hold your liquor worth shit. But you're off the charts hot."
My knees wobble a little, like I'm drunk on his gaze and the words he just spoke. "Now you're really shitting me," I whisper, swallowing hard because I suddenly want to launch myself into his arms and finish what we started last night. But I could eat. The corner of his mouth twitches as his thumb grazes my bottom lip, whisper soft.
"I could eat too."
Oh, fuck me dead. I know he's not talking about breakfast. "So, breakfast." My mouth's suddenly dry. My stomach isn't growling anymore. It's fluttering, like a horde of tiny butterflies have taken flight inside it. I start toward the door, but he hauls me backward and in front of him again. His eyes move down to the floor, but mine are firmly planted on his face.
"You're probably going to need shoes."
I close my eyes, wishing I could start the last 12 hours over again. There's so much I would do differently, and maybe I wouldn't look like such a noob in front of this hot-as-fuck badass biker guy. My face heats, and I want to crawl into a hole and die. "Yeah, shoes would be good," I whisper, unable to take my eyes off him. He releases me, but I don't move right away. It's like he's cast an invisible net around me, holding me to him. Maybe it's the fact that I haven't had any action in months, or the fact that every time he looks at me, I can see the hunger in his eyes, and he's not thinking about bacon and eggs.
"Sandals,"
he says as he sits on the couch and pulls on a boot. "Yeah," I say, still not hauling ass because I'm too busy watching his every move. The way his muscles dance under his ink-covered skin is completely hypnotic.
"Do you need me to put them on your feet?"
"Yeah," I whisper again, because my brain is fried and I'm not thinking straight. "Wait, no." I wave my hands when he starts to stand. "I got it."
"Thank fuck for small miracles,"
he teases, putting his ass back on the couch as he grabs the other boot. I silently chastise myself as I walk around to the side of the bed, finding my sandals placed neatly together, facing outward like he cared. I slide my toes between the plastic and close my eyes, trying to calm the fuck down. "Is it a far walk?"
"Nope. We're taking my bike. Is that a problem?"
Something about that makes me smile. Eric and Keith didn't have bikes. They both preferred their souped-up sports cars to the roar of a motorcycle. But they were boys, and Pike is all man. "Nope," I repeat his words in tone. "Just let me make myself halfway presentable." I don't wait for his approval before I take off toward the bathroom and shut myself inside. Leaning against the door, I allow myself a moment to freak out. Once I've whispered, "Holy shit," for the 10th time, I move toward the sink and get a glimpse of my post-tequila face. I scrub away the smeared mascara with a little soap that's still in the wrapper next to the sink. As soon as my face is dry, I almost squeal when I find his toothpaste and place a drop on my finger, scrubbing my teeth and the rancid taste of last night away. "It'll do," I say to myself in the mirror, wiping away the toothpaste from my lips.
"Let's hit it,"
he says near the doorway, ticking his head toward the outside as soon as the bathroom door opens.
"I'm starving, and the day is wasting."
"What time is it?" I ask him as I brush past him and shield my eyes from the blazing sun.
"One."
"One?" I gasp, realizing I slept half the day away. "In the afternoon?" He's right on my heels laughing because I'm an idiot and making no moves to try to hide how stupid I can be. Especially around him.
"No, darling. The sun decided to come out at night, just for you."
I slap his chest as soon as he's next to me. "Don't be a dick."
"Don't make it so easy."
"I don't make shit easy, Pike." He reaches into his pocket and taps the cigarette packet into his palm.
"No shit. I'm learning that quickly, and the hard way."
He teases with a smirk, and it takes everything in me not to smack him again. Pike?
"Yeah."
I tuck a lock of hair that had fallen free behind my ear. Can you not smoke?
Seriously?
Yeah. I don't like it, and it's not good for you. He tilts his head but doesn't put up much of a fight before putting the cigarette back in the pack.
I can wait.
I try not to smile at my victory. An hour later, we're jamming pancakes down our throats like it's an Olympic sport, and we're both aiming for the gold medal. How old are you? I ask Pike.
26. You?
I told you last night I'm 22. Which was a lie, of course, but I'm not going to tell him the truth now, after everything that's happened. I am a month shy of my 21st birthday, even if the fake ID in my pocket says otherwise. Pike nods, shoving another forkful of pancakes into his mouth, chewing slowly as he stares at me across the table. I squirm in my seat because I expect him to call bullshit, but he lets it go.
Where are you from?
Miami. You?
Up north.
Northern Florida?
A little farther.
I roll my eyes. I lied about my answer, but at least I was more specific than down south. Are you a badass biker for a living? I set my fork down, knowing if I don't stop eating soon, I'll need a nap and probably assistance wobbling out of this dive. Pike laughs, and it's the most beautiful thing in the world. Seriously, Pike is hot as fuck, but laughing Pike takes my breath away.
Nah, darling, I'm not a biker in that way. I ride because I love it. I'm not an MC or anything.
So, what do you do? I ask again because he's cagey, and I'm not getting much out of this guy.
I'm a tattoo artist.
My eyes widen because I know the community is both big and small. Sounds like an oxymoron, but I know the probability of most tattoo artists in the South knowing my family is pretty damn high. Inked is one of the most well-known shops in the South, after being featured in dozens of magazines over the years. That sounds fun. I lean back in the booth, fidgeting with my napkin.
What do you do?
I'm between jobs right now, but I'm looking for work as a graphic designer. Technically, I'm not lying. I am between jobs, but I leave out the bit about my college classes. I will be doing graphic design, but not on paper or in a digital format. I'll be tattooing skin, just like him.
What's your medium?
He asks, running his last forkful of pancakes through the lake of syrup on his plate. I'm a traditionalist. I like drawing by hand.
Me too. Those girls from last night, old co-workers.
Shit, I forgot about them. I pull out my phone from my purse, but I don't look down at the screen. One is my cousin, but we all work together and figured Daytona was the place to be this week. I glance down, finally seeing the 5 missed calls and 10 text messages from Tamara. My eyes widen at the level of crazy in her text messages. Are you okay? Hey, asshole, I'm getting worried. Are you alive or dead? Fucker, you better reply to me. I know you're busy sucking cock and all, but use those fingers to text me back, bitch. God damn it, should I call the police? Your ass better be dead since you're not replying. I'm going to kill you when I see you again. Oh my God, if you're dead, your father is going to kill me, and then my father will kill me. I'm too young to die. I hate you.
They looking for you?
He asks as I chew on my bottom lip, typing out a reply. At breakfast, I'm fine. Great, even. Don't worry so much. I'll text you later and we can meet up for drinks. Nah. They're good. They know I'm always safe.
You know that shit last night was not safe.
I lift my gaze to Pike. I'm alive, aren't I? He nods.
If you'd have gone with someone else, you might not be. You can't just walk up to a stranger in a bar, ask if they want to get out of there, be shit-faced drunk on top of it, and think you're definitely going to walk away unscathed.
But I did. I shrug as my phone vibrates in my hand. Thank fuck. I was about to call Uncle James or Uncle Thomas. You didn't look like a serial killer. Pike's face grows serious as he kicks back into the booth, crossing his arms over his chest, showing off that ink and those muscles.
And what does a killer look like?
Fuck if I know, but not you. I smile because he's right, but I feel a lecture about to start, and I'm not going to listen. I'm alive and breathing.
Because it was me you left with. Anyone else and shit could have been way different.
I lean forward, pushing my empty plate to the side, and stare at the hottie who's now preaching to me on personal safety. You're not my father, Pike. And while I appreciate the lecture, it's not needed. I was looking for a good time, and while it didn't end the way I'd planned, shit turned out just fine. We're heading to Froggy's in an hour. Meet us there and bring the hot guy and his friends, if he has any.
Fair enough.
Now, my friends are going to Froggy's, if you want to go too. But I imagine after last night, you probably want to ditch me for someone else. So, if you can just drop me there, you can do your thing and I'll do mine.
You're gonna pull that shit you did last night with someone else tonight?
I shrug and give him my best poker face. I don't know. The day is young and the night is long. Pike's jaw tightens and his eyes flash.
I'm coming,
he says quickly. Don't put yourself out or anything. I don't need a bodyguard, especially not someone I don't even know. I've survived this long without you watching over my shoulder. I think I'll last another night. Pike leans forward, our knuckles touching on top of the table. He studies me.
I know you don't need me to watch over you, but if you're going home with anyone, it's going to be me, darling. We never finished what we started last night, and I'm a man who likes to follow through.
That's so romantic, I tease, rolling my eyes.
You want romance? I'll give you romance. You want to fuck? I'm the man to fuck you. Whatever you want, I'll be the one giving it to you.
Why? I blurt out, wondering why this hot-as-fuck biker guy wants to saddle himself with me all day.
Because you seem hell-bent on a good time, and there's no one more equipped to give you that good time than me. You want to let your hair down and get wild, baby? I'll be right there with you. The one thing I won't do,
he touches his hand to his chest,
is let another man be the one to give it to you.
I suck in a breath, feeling like he's punched me straight in the gut. I should hate him. I should tell him to go to hell. I can have fun with any guy here. And trust me, there are thousands of them here this week to pick from. Okay. He's hot as fuck. And like Mallory said, the best way to get over Eric is to get under someone else. That someone else might as well be the hottie across from me, who's staring at me like he's starving. Even though he ate a stack of pancakes, it shouldn't be humanly possible to consume. He leans back and reaches into his pocket.
Let's blow this joint and get the party started, yeah?
I don't want to go to the bar. The thought of drinking right now makes my stomach turn.
I'll take you anywhere you want.
Take me back to your hotel room.
Chapter 4. Pike. I open the door to the bathroom, tucking the edge of the towel around my waist, and stop dead. Gigi's standing in the middle of the room with her towel still wrapped around her body, hair damp and wild as she pushes her fingers through her locks.
Do you have a brush?
She asks. My gaze travels up her body, taking in her long, tanned legs as she turns to face me. I don't. I barely get the words out because she's still in the damn towel. She said she was going to get dressed before I headed into the bathroom to wash off yesterday's grime. When she left the bathroom, she had her dirty clothes pulled tight against her chest like she was using them as a blocker between us.
Figured you wouldn't with that hair.
She ticks her chin upward, smiling at the mess that's on my head. It's always in a state, and I gave up a long time ago trying to tame the style in any way. I rub the back of my neck, trying to do something with my hands besides ripping the towel off her body and having my way with her. I can run and get you one.
No,
she says, taking a step closer to me.
Don't go.
I still haven't moved from the doorway to the bathroom. It's like my feet are glued to the floor. Besides my chest heaving and my heart pounding frantically, the only other thing moving on my body is my cock. She reaches for my face, but I grab her wrist, needing to set her straight. Darling, don't start something I'm not sure you want to finish. The warning is gentle and soft, but necessary. After last night and standing here in our towels now, I want her so badly, I'm aching to bury myself deep inside her. Her eyes burn with just as much need as mine do.
What if I don't want to stop?
She challenges, stepping even closer so her towel brushes against my chest.
Maybe I want this just as much as you do.
Maybe isn't a yes, Gigi. I don't want there to be any miscommunication about what's going to happen. I'm wound so tight right now, I might break. Her free hand moves to my towel, groping my cock through the rough fabric. I suck in a breath and close my eyes, tightening my hold on her wrist. Gigi. She moves her fingers up and down my shaft, causing my legs to tremble.
I want you, Pike. I've wanted you since the moment I laid eyes on you.
I open my eyes, peering down at her beautiful face and soft smile. You don't know what you're asking.
I'm asking you to fuck me.
She tightens her grip, moving her hand faster until I'm so hard I'm almost panting.
I know exactly what I'm asking, Pike, but if you can't give it to me...
I can give you everything. I lift my hand to cup her face and angle my mouth close to hers. I want to taste your mouth. I run my thumb along her bottom lip. I want to taste you everywhere. She moves her hand to the top of my towel, pulling the material apart as my lips crash down on hers, getting the taste I've been dying for since last night. I slide my hand into her hair, holding her face to mine as I swallow her moans and my own. Her towel falls away, pooling near our feet as her skin touches mine. It's like a million little electric shocks go off at once. Her hands are on my hips as I slide my other hand to her back, memorizing the dip of her spine as I move my palm to her ass. So fucking soft, I murmur against her lips.
So fucking hard,
she murmurs back as her fingertips move up to my abdomen, toying with my V. My stomach clenches at the way her fingers trail over my flesh, sending goosebumps scattering across my body. She's hesitant. I can tell by her movements this isn't her usual thing. Most women would be grabbing at my cock, but not her. She's busy touching my body, exploring what I have elsewhere, and not what's the usual main attraction. I pull my lips away, knowing I have to give her another out. She's a big talker, but maybe the reality of what we're about to do has finally sunk in. We don't have to do this. She shakes her head, staring up at me with hooded eyes.
I want this. I just need to take it slow, okay?
I'm not looking for fast, darling. You take all the time you want because I know I will. I smirk, our faces only inches from each other. There's something so intense about staring at someone this close. Something so intimate about it. Rarely have I ever done this with anyone. I never care about the emotion in their eyes or the tenderness they need. But Gigi is different. I am different with her. She lets out a shaky breath, lifting up on her tiptoes to give me her lips again, and this time I don't hold anything back. I slide my tongue along her bottom lip, loving the way she tastes of mint and strawberries. Then she pulls away.
I have to be honest with you,
she says, holding my sides but keeping her eyes locked on mine.
I haven't been with a lot of guys, and I was always in a relationship if I slept with someone. This is all new to me. I need you to know.
I don't need to know anything.
But what if I'm bad?
She blinks up at me like she's surprised by my words. You can never be bad at anything. There's no such thing. Do what feels right and good. Do what comes naturally, and I promise you it'll be good for the both of us. She nods, seeming satisfied by my statement. I've never understood that way of thinking. I've never had a bad time in the sack, no matter the level of skill or number of partners the person has had before me. I don't care if she's been with one or a dozen guys, as long as her mind, hands, and body are only on me. No more talking. We've already said too many words, and I can't go another minute without my body attached to hers in some form. Her tits press against my chest as I take her mouth again, claiming her long and deep with the kiss, showing her how I feel and how badly I want her, experience be damned. She slowly slides her hands over my stomach, moving to my abdomen before gliding them across my trail of hair, finding my hard cock. The moan that escapes her lips along with the soft warmth of her skin makes my dick twitch in anticipation.
You're big,
she mumbles against my mouth, because I don't give her a chance to get away this time. I knead her ass cheeks, humming my appreciation at the way her hand strokes along my shaft. When her fingertips find my piercings, she freezes.
Oh my God.
She pushes me away with one hand, cock still firmly in her grasp with the other. Her eyes are glued to my dick and are wide, her mouth hanging open.
I didn't know you had...
I move my hips toward her and my cock bobs, showing off the shiny jewelry that has often gotten a mixed reaction from the ladies.
Can I?
I don't think anyone's ever asked for a better view, but if that's what she wants, she can do whatever the fuck she pleases. Anything you want. She folds her legs, kneeling before me on top of the towel that had fallen near our feet. I place my hands on my hips, stopping myself from pulling her in and jamming my dick, piercing and all, across her pretty pink tongue. You've never seen a pierced dick? I ask. She shakes her head.
Not this close, but I have seen them. Never touched one, though.
Figured all the college boys were into shit like this.
Shh,
she says, peering up for a moment, with her eyebrows drawn together before she goes back to staring at my cock.
It's an apodravia, right?
For a chick who hasn't seen many, you sure got the name nailed. She shrugs, toying with the metal.
I know a little about this type of stuff. It's always fascinated me.
I can't take my eyes off her fingers as they move around the tip of my dick. The girl is a conundrum. She's innocent. There's no denying that. It's not an act, either. But she knows shit, too. Shit someone with her level of innocence probably shouldn't know. I don't ask because I don't care. There's a hot chick on the floor, eye to eye with my junk, touching me. That's all that fucking matters. Her tongue pokes out of her mouth, sweeping across her bottom lip, and I grip my sides harder, trying to control myself.
I've heard it's pleasurable.
There's one way to find out. I'm about done with show and tell, but then I remember I have to be patient, something I've never been known to be.
Can I lick it?
Oh my fucking God. This girl is too much. Of course. I'm not a fucking idiot. Deep-throated if you want. She gazes up the length of my body, looking small, kneeling before me.
Let's not get extreme.
A guy can hope. I smirk and then hold my breath as she leans forward, that cute-ass soft tongue coming out from between her lips, reaching for a taste of my cock. I can't take my eyes off her. The curve of her breast as she moves toward me. The slenderness of her fingers as they wrap around my shaft, milking me as she tentatively touches the tip of her tongue to the head of my cock. My body rocks forward, wanting her warmth and the wetness only her mouth can deliver. I close my eyes because watching this sweet, pure girl take me into her mouth is too much for me to handle. Fuck, I hiss as she slides her tongue over the tip, across the shaft, taking me slowly, inch by inch, between her lips. The warmth is instantly gone.
Did I do something wrong?
I blink down at her in confusion. Don't stop, darling. It was the closest to heaven I've ever been. She smirks, liking the praise, but then something passes across her face.
I've been told I suck. Not in the good way, either.
Whoever told you that should be shot. There's no such thing as a bad blowjob. Technically, I'm lying. There is such a thing, but I doubt this girl could do anything wrong. Her tongue's back on my dick a moment later.